All right. Would you join me in the scripture before we pray? And we'll try to encourage our hearts here with what the Lord says about prayer. We're in the Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter. We've been here before, probably a number of times. Every time I look at this, I'm encouraged. And maybe, and of course, this is the hope for you as well, that maybe this will encourage all of us. Now, the first verse says he was praying in a certain place after he had finished. One of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John also taught his disciples. You know that the Lord picked up a couple of John's disciples. And we get some idea that of John's ministry, he was teaching prayer as well as urging to repentance. So he's a very spiritual, helpful man. And this fellow says, "Now we've heard John pray, and now we've heard the Master pray. Lord, teach us to pray just like John taught his disciples." And he said to them, and these are familiar words, a little bit more amplified in Matthew's gospel, but here they are in essence. "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Now you could say that is the what to pray. That is the barest of outlines right there. But I think you'll discover if you take that to the place of prayer, you can flesh this little skeleton out here. You can put flesh and sinews and skin upon this and ask the Spirit of God to breathe life into it. And you'll have something that's warlike and glorious there in your prayer closet. This would be a tremendous help to prayer. In fact, Luther has an entire book on this, on how to pray, and he just goes step by step through the Lord's Prayer. So, Lord, teach us to pray. And you've got these different heads of things that we can ask the Heavenly Father about and ask Him for. Very interesting. All we have time to do is just say, take this to prayer, take this to the Lord. And really, before we go any further, let's just say, you see, how many verses do we have here? Lord, teach us to pray. And we have from verse 2 down to verse 13. And then Luke goes on to something else. There could have been more in the lesson, but not necessarily. Not necessarily a lot more. And I think that in itself is instructive. That where are you and I going to learn to pray? On our knees. In the prayer closet. When you come before God and you say, "Lord, I've shot my wad and you've been in there for about 6 minutes. I don't know what to pray." Just ask Him. Take this out, maybe. Go through this step by step, phrase by phrase. Put it in your own words. Use your own thoughts. Ask the Spirit to teach you. And you'll find that after a while, 60 minutes won't be enough. So, we have the what to pray. Now, this is where we're grateful for Luke's gospel, because he goes on and he tells this story. Verse 5, "And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, "Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Now we come to the how to pray. We've looked at what, and here's how. And you know this story right well, and you can imagine the embarrassment of our hero here, who has gone to his other friend's house at what time? Midnight. What's it like when someone bangs your door at midnight, or the phone rings? What's it like? Yeah, it's one of those things that you're just like this other guy. "I'm not getting up. You may jolly well go your way, or else you go to the door with a shotgun, right, Sam? No, no one does this. No one in their right mind does this. Well, the situation has driven this fellow. He finds himself in an embarrassing situation. The need has just smashed him into this, this position of entreaty. And I think sometimes the Lord will teach us more about prayer in those moments than we know not what to do. We can't figure it out. We're maybe at wit's end. And this is not to be despised nor rejected. It's oftentimes the Lord's classroom, and he's teaching us. But one of the things that stands out to me as I read this of late is this. Even though he is his friend, our Lord says, he set this whole stage up, and you got one friend banging on the door of another friend, and the other friend says, it's not the right hour, I'm not getting up, I'm already in bed. The point being that friendship does not get the fellow out of bed, does it? Oh, it's my friend. It's Sam's at the door. I've got to go. You know, Craig's with him. And I think there's Ryan out there. These are my friends. I'm going. No. You can knock all night. I'm staying here. The friendship didn't get the fellow out of bed. What did? Persistence. He banged and banged and banged and banged. We have a cat like this. He's part Siamese. And I read somewhere about the Siamese breed. They're talkative. It was a crossword clue. Talkative feline. Siamese. How many letters that is? It fits. Yep. That cat gets it in his head. He wants something and he will not stop. We love that little guy. We love our sanity more. Let him out. He's driving me nuts. Oh, it's so warm under this. Get up and let him out. All right. Persistence. Persistence. What did God say about Abraham? He's my friend. What did the Lord Jesus call each of us? I don't call you servants, I call you friends. I think the Lord is setting something up for us here. There's some things that friendship, as sweet as it is, as rich as it is, you know, when you become a friend to someone, you're committing yourself in certain points. You will do this, and it's not written down. I don't think that there's a contract out that you can, you know, fill out the form, but it's understood. You do this, this, this. There's other things you don't do. You don't go to your friend's house at midnight. You don't bang on the door. You don't ask for bread. There's, you know, that's part of the understood part too. And I think the Lord is saying that there's things that we are not going to presume upon him and receive. But there are things we are going to receive if we persist. It moves the whole relationship into a whole new level. I'm desperate. You're the only one that can meet this need. I've got nothing. You've got everything. And so we have the how to pray here. It's bold speech, isn't it? This is a beautiful illustration, but it's almost like if it wasn't here in the Word of God, I would not presume to speak upon this, let alone attempt it in the place of prayer. But if I find myself going back before the Lord saying, Lord, I'm asking you about this again, and I feel a little cringing in my spirit, if I have to, I go remind myself of this passage and I remind him, Lord, you taught this. You urge this kind of praying. You are the one that said we should persist. We could go and talk about the unrighteous judge if you want to, Lord. You can talk about the widow that would not let him go. Give me legal protection. Would not be silenced. Some of this must have fired Monica. You know who Monica was, don't you? Oh, good. I see some heads going up and down. She was the one that would not let the Lord go about her son. Her son, Augustine. And finally, one day Augustine gets himself off way over in Italy and he listens to Bishop Ambrose preach and he's struck and he's pierced to the heart and he's converted eventually. And it's not just because Ambrose is a great preacher, which he is, but he'd heard great preachers. There's someone who would not let the Lord alone. Monica. How to pray. What to expect in prayer. Verse 9, verse 10. Everyone who asks. You think, oh, okay, this is teaching for the advanced saint. This is prayer 501, not 101. I'm back here in the freshman class, and no. What does the Lord say? Read it for yourself. Second word in verse 10. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Did we read verse 9? Let me read it again. I say to you, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. These are promises, aren't they? This is what the prayer, the intercessor, you don't even have to term yourself a prayer warrior. You're a suppliant. You're a beggar. How about that? That's a comfortable word. I can do that. I can stand at God's street corner and beg. Sure. You don't have to put some theological name on me, but I can beg. And what does he say? Ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Take the position of this embarrassed friend at midnight and just keep it up. And what do we expect? Everyone receives. Everyone finds. To everyone that door shall be opened. Oh, that's sweet. That's gracious of our Lord, isn't it? Now, what's promised? We've looked briefly at what to pray, what to pray, how to pray, what to expect, and then finally, what is promised? And we have this wonderful story. Let's read it again. Now, suppose one of your fathers, verse 11, one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? That's kind of cruel, isn't it? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? That's even meaner, I think. Well, all right. There's presumed, no, that won't happen. You know, you may hear the odd occurrence here and there of some father who's got a screw loose and he does something weird. But for the most part, no. We know what to do. We want to do right. We want to give right. Okay, that's presumed. Now then, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? All right. In that section, it's as if we are invited to make a comparison or several comparisons. How much more, our Lord says. We're going to reason from the lesser to the greater, as the logicians will tell us. And you're going from this earthly example to the heavenly one. How much more? And we're to flesh that thought out. How much more? All right? And that regards to the one that's being asked. Okay. In the first instance, we ask our Father, our earthly Father. He said, and he addresses this to the whole crowd. Any one of you fathers. But then he describes that person in verse 13. They're evil. You know, it'd been a hard time, always hanging on the Lord's teaching all the time, listening to him preach, because he'd come out with little jewels like this. You then, all of you out there, being evil. Well, that's humbling, isn't it? But he's not just trying to knock their kneecaps out from under them. What he's trying to do, he himself is making comparison. On this one instance, we are asking our evil Father for a gift. On this other, whom are we asking? Our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. We started prayer with this in verse 2. Father, hallowed, holy, reverenced, loved be thy name. This is our thought about God. And this, you compare him to your earthly father, and it's a huge gulf, isn't it? I mean, your earthly father could be a fine man. I look at a whole bunch of fathers out there. You're all good men. But compare you to the Heavenly Father and you're evil. All right. We'll try to go on. We're invited to make comparison between about the gift sought. Dad, do you suppose I could have a fish? Could I have an egg, Pop? Well, okay. You can give an earthly thing. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit. Not just look at the one who is being asked, look at the gift that is being sought. And then consider finally the willingness. All right. Suppose one of you fathers is asked for a fish or an egg. You're not going to give, what are our other options here? You're not going to give a snake or a scorpion, are you? I mean, you're evil, but you're not mean. There's something wrong in all of our hearts, but in this scenario, we know how to give good things. We love our son or daughter. We want to do them good, and if that's the case, then how much more will your Heavenly Father give? This is tremendously encouraging. What to pray, how to pray, what to expect, what is promised? The Holy Spirit? There's books, there's tomes written on this subject. You could fill up your Christian library with books about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And here we hear the Son of God saying his Father is more than willing to give, and his heart is bent on doing us good. If we but ask, he is all the more willing to give. So, there we have the little brief outline of our Lord about prayer. And then Luke passes on to something else. He was casting out a demon, verse 14, and on he goes with more of the story of the life of Christ. That's it right there. That's all we need. Well, let me rephrase that. If this were all we had to teach us about prayer, we could become mighty in this work. But still we say, Lord, teach us to pray.